Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to me at Jordan, and I swear to him, by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoarhead bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah the son of Haggith came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. He said, Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, Say on. And he said, Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about, and is become thy brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, Say on. And he said, Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, Well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee, I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, Ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, Let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, And why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon sware by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. and unto Abiathar the priest, said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go, fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. And their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace ever from the Lord. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out, and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass, and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath, and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day thou goest out, and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die, and thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good? Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, Solomon takes the reins. David steels himself once again, one more time, not only in installing Solomon to be king, but in giving him that final charge. We see then the faithfulness and stalwart character of David, that he would not depart this world until he had indeed given this last bit of instruction to Solomon, because he desired that his son would rule in righteousness. And so, David speaks to him about Joab, He speaks to him about Shimei. He speaks to him about Barzillai, the Gittite, the Gileadite. And he speaks to him, I think those three particulars. And so after he gives them the charge, or gives Solomon the charge, then David is gathered to his fathers and buried in the city of David, and the kingdom is consolidated into the hands of Solomon. Now, there are a couple of things that are said here that I want us to understand, because I believe they're a matter of ancient Near Eastern speak that is different from what we're used to hearing. It sounds like David is speaking in a contradictory fashion in some cases when he says to Solomon, "Do according to your wisdom and make sure you bring his head down with blood." Notice that the way this works out in time is that there are some solid opportunities given to those who were formerly transgressors, especially like Shimei. But we want to understand David's thought here. And David's thought here is this: do according to your wisdom, and if necessary, don't hesitate then to bring down their hair or their head in blood. In other words, it's not an either-or proposition. David is saying, do what your wisdom dictates as far as taking their life. Even if it goes all the way to that extreme, do according to your wisdom. And that's what David means here. And it sounds like he's speaking in a contradictory fashion, but he's really not. That's the parlance of the ancient Near East. And so David makes his wishes known that Solomon should do primarily according to his own wisdom, and then, even if it means to the extremity of bringing them down to death. So, the first instance, though, doesn't have anything to do with anyone that David mentioned. It's Adonijah. And so Adonijah comes to see Bathsheba. Of course, Bathsheba's a little trepidatious because Adonijah was ready to rise up to take the reins of the kingdom, which meant that she and her son would have been transgressors. And so she says to him, "Do you come peaceably?" He says, "Yes, I come peaceably." Did he really come peaceably? That's the question we need to ask. And the answer to that question is no. Although he was no threat to Bathsheba, he was certainly a threat to Solomon, because what he asked for was not just Abishag the Shunammite. He asked, in asking for Abishag, he asked for the kingdom. He still entertained pretensions to the throne, and that's why he wanted the king's concubine. Well, I've got his concubine, right? So what follows is I would be king. I think that it's Matthew Poole, I was reading on this a couple of days ago, and Matthew Poole really has the right sense of it, that this was a wicked request on the part of Adonijah, because standing behind it was his desire that he had refused to relinquish, that he would someday be king. And so notice that while he was thwarted in a head-on appeal, now by surreptitious means, he seeks to gain the kingdom to himself. Now, let's think about Bathsheba for a moment here. Do you think she entertains the knowledge of what Adonijah is up to? I don't see how she could not. I think she does. And I think she plays along, because she knows that her son Solomon is a wise man and will see through the ruse, and that it will bring Adonijah to the proper kind of punishment that he needs. All the way to death, it turns out. So, here comes Bathsheba then, and notice the uprightness of Solomon. First of all, he actually gets up out of his own chair. Now, you have to understand, kings didn't do that. But his mother comes in, and he rises from his own throne, walks over to where she is, and bows before her, then causes a seat to be set on his right hand. This is an ultimate sign of respect and honor for his mother. Children, listen to me carefully. If the king can honor his mother like that, you can honor yours. Right? Pretty simple. You can honor your mothers. Solomon honored his mother. He also honored his father, and that he received all of the instructions of David and did according to everything that David told him. So let's be careful here. Let's understand that that there's never a time where honoring our mothers is passé. Right? Okay, so Bathsheba says something. She says, I have one small thing to ask of you. Don't say no to me. And Solomon says, oh, mother, you know I could never say no to you. It's an interesting interchange. But then when she says what she says, notice Solomon understands the wickedness of what was asked. And so he refuses that commitment that he'd made earlier because it would have been sin to follow through on it. And so we see Solomon's great wisdom. And so what does Solomon say to her? He says, well, why don't you ask for Abiathar? Why don't you ask for Joab too? Certainly, Adonijah has said this to his own demise. And so he will die today. And so he calls up his general, his mighty warrior, Benaiah, and he says, you know that guy Adonijah? Go take care of that problem. And he does. And so Adonijah dies that day because he never released the wicked desire that he had to be king. You know, many people have ruined not just their lives, but their souls, desiring things that weren't theirs. Right? Okay. So after that, then, we leave the scene of Adonijah. Now we come to Abiathar, the priest. And notice that Abiathar the priest said unto the king, and unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth. So now he turns his attention to not, you know, as long as Adonijah doesn't come to Solomon, everybody lives peaceably. But once Adonijah comes to Solomon and says, I need Abishag to be my wife through Bathsheba, Solomon recognizes that the designs of Adonijah are not yet come to an end, and this has some implications for Abiathar and for Joab as well. And so the king calls Abiathar, and he says, for the sake of the suffering that you suffered with my father David, for the loyalty that you showed to him until the very end, what I will do then is I will banish you instead of take your life from you. And so he banishes him from being priest. Now, does Solomon have the authority to do that as a king? Well, remember that Solomon is also a prophet. And so, yes, he does have that authority to remove him from being a priest. And so out Abiathar goes, never to return to bear the linen ephod again. And so what did Abiathar's loyalty to Adonijah get him? Excommunication. Right? Again, as we heard in the last reading in Psalm 119, be careful of your associations. Be careful of your associations that they do not lead you into some kind of discipline, whether that would be from the church, from the Lord, in some providence, whatever it is. Be careful your associations. All right, so next then Solomon takes up the case of Joab. And Joab, there is simply no mitigation to his crimes. He has killed two mighty, loyal, and honorable men. He has murdered them in cold blood. As Solomon says here, shed the blood of war in the time of peace. So notice, everybody was at peace except Joab. He remained at war, and he was at war with them. Why? Because they occupied the place that he desired. And so Joab's was a policy of advancement by assassination. And so he slew two men, Amasa and, what was the name of the other one? Amasa and, where is it? Abner and Amasa. One over the host of Israel and one over the host of Judah. And he slew them both because he wanted their positions at the various points in history. Remember Joab's idol. I must be the head guy in charge of the army. And so everything that Joab did tended toward that, including the murder of these two men. And so Joab, what an amazing end to his life. He clings to the altar superstitiously. Right? oh, you can't touch me here. I'm holy. I've got altars X here. And yet, while we look down on that, while we despise that, and it is a despicable act, it is an all too common act, that kind of superstition. And so, Benaiah doesn't know what to do. He sends messenger back to Solomon. He won't come out from the horns of the altar. And Solomon says, fine, slay him there. His crimes are too great. And so Joab loses his life there. And he's buried, notice, in his own house in the wilderness. As Joab was a man that was unruly, he is buried in an unruly place. His own house was in the wilderness. And then finally we have the case of Shimei. And I hope you see the graciousness of Solomon here. Shimei was worthy of death for cursing and throwing rocks at the king. It seems a little bit, immature to us. Keep in mind that a rock was a weapon in those days. Remember when we speak of David's mighty men, that they could throw rocks with either hand. Why were they throwing rocks? Because that was one of the weapons that they had at their disposal in those days. If you were a crack shot with a rock, you know, that was like being a sniper. You could hit someone with a rock in the head, knock them out or kill them from a distance. That's good weaponry. Well, that's what Shimei was doing. He threw up dust, he picked up rocks, he was throwing them at the king, he was attacking the king. And that's why Abishai said, how about if I go remove this guy's head? And David said no, and so on. All right, so now we come to this point. And Shimei is worthy of death. However, Solomon is going to show him kindness because of the oath of his father David, I will not put thee to death. And so, buy yourself a house in Jerusalem. Now, does that strike you as odd? First of all, it strikes us as odd as people because we're used to doing what? Living where we want. We want to live in Wiley, Levon, Plano, Murphy. I can live wherever I want. Solomon says, buy yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there and don't leave the confines of the city. So it's obvious that he's gotten himself under the ban, under the watchful eye of the magistrate. Solomon wants him close so that he does not have any opportunity to form another conspiracy or to form a conspiracy against the kingdom in some way with the house of Saul. So, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Solomon says, you stay in Jerusalem where I can keep an eye on you. And if you go outside of the city limits and cross the brook Kidron, you will do so to your life. And Shimei says, that's a good deal. I'll take that. The sentence is gracious. Thank you. And he leaves. 3 years later, two of his servants escape, and they go over. Notice that he had a pretty good living in Jerusalem. He had servants. Okay, so they go over to Gath. So where does Shimei go? To Gath. What is Gath? Well, it's a stronghold of the enemy. It's the Philistines. And so he comes back. Well, I was in Gath. That's the place where you would go to make a plan against the king. Did you ask for leave? Did you say, I have a difficulty? Can you send a couple of guys to go get my servants in Gath? Did you ask for any mitigation of the sentence and the oath that you swore to stay in Jerusalem? And he didn't. He just took it upon himself to leave the city. And he left the city without telling anyone. And he came back and it was told Solomon, you know where Shimei went? He went to Gath. Are you kidding? Gath? And so Solomon calls him, and I hope you noticed that there was not a word from Shimei from verses 42 through the end of the chapter. Nothing for him to say. Did you agree to this? The only thing he says, yes. Is this a just sentence? Was it just? Yes. Did you violate it? Yes. Thank you. We're done. And so in violation of his oath to stay in the city, the same oath that he took was carried out on his own head. And he was put to death. Oh, we want to be careful that no words come out of our mouth that we don't intend to keep. That we take very seriously the words that come out of our mouths, such that we don't bring ourselves later into some kind of judgment because we have spoke precipitously. All right, well, thus ends the reading of 1 Kings chapter 2. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms.